Welcome now to the Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland with you on a Friday and performing tonight at the Capitol Theater Overture Center for the Arts is the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, part of their Masterworks series featuring pianist Adam Neiman, and double duty there playing two concertos, a Poulenc concerto and a Shostakovich concerto. There's also Mozart and Schubert on the program tonight. And welcome back to the Midday, Adam.
It's a pleasure to be back.
Up from Chicago. And is this kind of a growing trend to play two concertos in a concert? I've been seeing more of this lately.
I have seen more of it. It's something I've done a few times now, and it's always double duty. You feel definitely warmed up by the time you finish performing on stage.
I would say so. And they're back-to-back too, right?
They are. These are somewhat short concertos as concertos go. They're just under 25 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes. So we felt like we wanted to make sure the audience was kind of getting their evening's worth of music from the piano.
Speaking of getting an evening's worth of music, you have a new label out.
I do. Last year, I formed a record label called Aeolian Classics. And I was encouraged to do so by a record producer that I work with quite a bit. His name is Adam Abeshaus, and he's a very well-known classical music producer and engineer. And recently I was working on my recording of the complete Rachmaninoff Preludes and Etudes Tableau for piano, and decided that with all the work that I put into it, I wanted to kind of retain some artistic control. So putting together my own label was kind of the first step in that. And my goal is not only to put out my own records, but to put out lots of records of other people. So hopefully...
So the line forms here.
The line forms here.
When you say artistic control, though, are you talking about selection of repertory or, oh, I think that should be fortissimo there and not, you know...
Well, that kind of thing, but also even just the design of the CD and how it's marketed in particular.
It's all about the marketing, isn't it? Should I ask even what are the current ways of marketing?
Well, you know, it's... Largely, these days, it's largely social media based. I mean, you still invest somewhat in print materials and all that, but so much of the way people get their information these days is through social media. So kind of having an active presence through radio broadcast actually is a major way. So I personally send out, you know, records to pretty much every radio station that I can.
Well, that's old-fashioned. I mean, you know, that's been going on for 80 years.
But that's still effective. It's one of the great ways to get music out there. And just word of mouth. You know, word of mouth is basically the way it goes. But I think in classical music, we all kind of accept that we're not really in it for the money. You know, if we sell 1,000 CDs, we're pretty lucky. Whereas, you know, in the pop field, it's totally the opposite. The record comes first, you sell a million records, then you go on tour. Here, as a classical musician, you kind of go about it the opposite way.
Well, here you have actually quite a number of CDs before you get to your own label, going back into the 90s at least.
Yeah.
And one of them is a set of two CDs, some of which it's all live recital.
Yeah.
And it includes on the second disc this fairly famous transcription by Rachmaninoff of what was originally a violin piece by Fritz Kreisler, one of the famous ones.
Yeah, Liebeslied. It's Love's Sorrow. And, of course, the original Kreisler piece is very charming and very beautiful, and Rachmaninoff did just incredible things to decorate it.
And make it difficult for a pianist?
Slightly, yeah.
Well, we'll find out about that. Here we go. You can kind of work the crowd with a piece like that, can't you?
Oh, it's so charming. It's amazing.
That was in Miami?
It was the Miami International Piano Festival. And I was just coming off a big performance of the D minor piano sonata by Rachmaninoff. Big, big, dark work. So wanted something to kind of send them home on a charming note.
Do you have a particular kind of piano that you favor?
Oh, gosh. There are so many good ones. course, Steinway is yeah, fantastic.
I hear they come well yeah, recommended.
They're pretty good, if you like that sort of thing. Also, I have to say, I really love the fairly new Italian brand, Fazioli.
Oh.
Yeah, and I had the honor of meeting Mr. Fazioli at his factory in Sacile, Italy, and I played a concert there. They have a beautiful concert hall. And he actually walked me through his entire factory, showed me the hundreds of patents that they have on...
I suppose.
I mean, it's quite amazing. He just wants to build the best piano in the world. So I love many pianos. Yamahas and Bösendorfers and Kawais can come in all shapes and sizes.
They all have these different personalities, don't they?
They do.
Different voices.
Yeah, and I always try to make the best of whatever piano I'm given.
There are legends about encounters between pianists and pianos. See, this is another concert performance. In this case, your Suntory Hall in Tokyo.
Yeah, it was my debut in Tokyo.
Back in 1998, and... the program included Brahms. This is the Rhapsody in E-flat, played by my guest, Adam Neiman. Tokyo audience. I had to think about it for just a second. Our Tokyo Japanese audiences, East Asian audiences, any different, Adam?
Well, they certainly were in the 90s. I haven't been there in a few years, but they were very, very quiet when I played, which I loved, actually. Uh-huh. But it felt like an attentive quiet.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that would be a good thing.
Yeah, and they don't give standing O's very often, and they certainly don't bravo or shout.
Should I ask this question even, I wonder, but is there such a thing as ovation inflation in this country? You see a lot of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they become kind of routine.
I know.
I think.
I've been in the audience many times when I haven't felt like standing up, and then you feel like the biggest jerk in the world if you're the only one sitting, so you uh-huh. get up and you do, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little tricky. I'm not sure where we could go with that. If you're at Adam's performance tonight with the Chamber Orchestra, feel free to
please
stand
do.
Up. It's okay.
Yes.
Fine. But I mean, where do we go from here? People start standing on their seats or something to
True.
Be more than an ovation. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's something that that maybe it's just the level of musicianship has, you know, gotten to be that much higher. I don't know.
I think it's great that people are enthusiastic, honestly.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people have problems with, let's say, applause between movements.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I think, you know, why not?
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, the performers I've talked to about that seems to be kind of a little bit of a split there. Some think, well, it sort of might break my concentration, but others say, bring it on. And I mean, you know, in opera, they've always done that.
They do, and... actually, back when these pieces were played for the first time, I'm talking about, you know, 18th century, 19th century, the routine was to separate out movements.
Yeah.
So I was looking at old programs of Chopin playing. He only played 50 concerts in his lifetime.
Really?
Yeah. He hated performing. He was so nervous. But when he premiered his E minor piano concerto, it's like, okay, start the program off with a couple of art songs by someone else.
Right.
And then maybe a string quartet comes and plays a movement of Mozart. Then he comes out, plays one movement, like third movement of the concerto.
The third movement.
Yeah, that walks away, comes back, plays some solo pieces, comes back, maybe plays the first movement. That's how it was done. Uh-huh. This idea of like the unbroken concentration.
Yeah, well, I know in Beethoven's time, of course, they did that too. And they would even have novelty acts in mm-hmm. between, like somebody playing with the fiddle behind his back in between movements of the Beethoven, you know, violin concerto. And I think that's why there's this one cryptic note from Beethoven to was it Clementi, I think, asking for to Clementi with clemency, asking, please, you know, don't go too crazy when you perform this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole showbiz aspect of music has changed a lot over the years.
It has changed a lot. In some ways, it's nice because there's a movement towards respect and authenticity.
Yeah, very
but
much.
But I think we shouldn't forget that this is supposed to be also a form of entertainment, you know, and it's okay.
And yeah, if you feel like applauding,
please do.
Yeah. This is one of those fascinating collaborations in a way that you recorded back in 2008. Mozart, but his first six piano concertos are just his expansion of sonatas by J.C. Bach.
Yeah, yeah, it was an amazing discovery. I hadn't played concertos earlier than number 9 prior to that project. And when Andrew and I spoke about making a Mozart recording, we thought, well, we could, you know, we could record 2 or 3 of the classic big concertos. But then we thought it might be interesting to do something a little bit different. So we have numbers 6, 8, and 9, 6 being the first original Mozart, truly original, because as you said, the first 5 were the J.C. Bach. So it's a very, very young Mozart who was kind of striking out on his own, still in Salzburg, very influenced by his father. And it was the 9th concerto, which caps the disc, that was his first sort of departure from that. And the length, the 40-minute, nearly 40-minute length of the concerto sort of speaks for that fact. He was trying to show that he could do something different. But the 6th concerto was very much in the style of the time.
There's the first movement of it here, and this is Adam Niemann with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, Andrew Sewell conducting. First movement of Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 6. First movement of the Mozart Piano Concerto No. 6 in B-flat, the pianist for the occasion, Adam Niemann, with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, Andrew Sewell conducting. And Adam Niemann, a pleasure having you on the midday again.
A great pleasure to be here.
And you'll be performing tonight with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, 2 concertos, one by Poulenc and one by Shostakovich, quite different one from the other, you can be sure of that.